Dr. Paul Ravenna's on a phone line. Dr. Paul joins us on WGN Radio to just answer a couple more questions that we've had about the president's press conference last night. He is a Northwestern Medicine family physician. Doc, it's John Williams. You're on WGN. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
I suppose you saw the president's press conference yesterday or reports about it, right?
I did.
So what I'm kind of curious about is, on the one hand, they had the medical officials there, and they were saying it's imminent. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when this virus spreads in the United States. And we have a case in California of somebody who got it who did not have any connection to China. We don't know how that person got it. And then in the next breath, the president said it's minimal. The numbers are going to go down. A virus is coming. So everybody, we've got things under control. I suggested earlier that both of those things may be true, but they sound like mixed messages. What was your reaction to what we heard last night?
You know, I think it's kind of it's an accurate reflection of where we are, and that we just really don't know. This is all happening in real time, and new information is coming out. You know, anything that I say during this.
Yeah.
During this broadcast is going to be obsolete by the time it's over. So that, I think, is just an accurate reflection. And in general, I do believe that absolutely we will find more cases in the U.S. Currently, that number is 60. And I'm sure that that's probably inaccurate, like I said, by the time this is over. So we will absolutely find more cases because we're thinking about it more and because we're testing for it more, and we're getting more comfortable doing those tests and finding those patients who need to be tested. So absolutely the number is going to go up, but that's most likely just because we're screening for it. I think our risk probably is still low.
My mind goes to arguing for, hey, this is something that is really dangerous, and then another part of my brain says, oh, relax. For instance, you say 60 cases, but that's not, but most of those cases are people who were either on the cruise ship or were in China and came back here. I mean, it's not like we had 60 organic cases from within the United States, but we simply have 60 people in the United States who have it, but we realize that when they came here, they came back to the United States. You see my
mm-hmm.
point?
Absolutely.
So I think that's a distinction worth making, that it's not like, wow, for instance, when they show the 60, they say a lot of them are in Nebraska, and you think, well, whoa, wow, what's going on in Nebraska? That's because that's the hospital they put them in for the quarantine. There's a bunch of them that went to Texas. A Chicago couple is there.
Exactly.
And they went to Texas because that's the facility that we had for them. So I don't know if that helps people try and gauge the seriousness of this. Another way to look at it, Doc, to me is, there's 330 million of us, and there's only one case that we can't account for. So can you talk about the perspective in that scenario?
Well, I think you're right. That the number that I'm focusing on is one right now, because 45 of those cases we've had direct contact from the areas in China, and then another 14 of those cases were people who had contact with people. So we could account for almost all of the cases. So I think you hit the nail on the head where the number that I'm focusing on right now is one. The pessimistic point of view in that is we're just starting to test, and the tests that have been sent still haven't resulted for a lot of people because this is all just happening. There's going to be people tested today, yesterday. We don't have these results yet. So that number is absolutely going to grow. But I still think, I think we're worried about the wrong virus here. There are about 41 million cases of the flu so far this year, resulting in about 500,000 hospitalizations and maybe 40,000 deaths. And so we're focusing on whether you look at 60 or whether you look at that number one, zero deaths in the U.S., and we are in the middle of a terrible flu season. So I think people are worried about the wrong bug.
Do those numbers again, Doctor. I've heard those or numbers like those, and I'm not always certain if I'm hearing worldwide numbers or U.S. numbers. Are those U.S. numbers?
Currently, yes.
Are you kidding me? Those numbers you just gave me are for the United States?
U.S. flu season from the CDC. Yeah, I mean, it's no joke. We're in a terrible, terrible flu season. The limiting factor with any virus, and we'd have a lot of these conversations every year in the medical community about how do you how can you accurately capture this? How can you you can't test everybody. If you look at the symptoms for COVID-19, it's a fever, it's a cough, it's half of the U.S. population right now in February.
Yeah, right.
So it's really tricky. And then how do you attribute death to that bug? This sort of similar to the flu, it's actually pretty rare for an otherwise healthy person to just get the flu and die. Same thing as what we're seeing mostly from China with COVID-19. It's people who are elderly. They're getting hit harder. There's people with other comorbid conditions. And so how you attribute death to a virus has always been a little bit tricky. But the numbers that I'm seeing from the CDC, somewhere around 30 to 40 million cases of the flu this year, 500,000 people ending up in the hospital because of the flu, and maybe somewhere between 20 and 40,000 deaths.
Wow.
But there's a difference, isn't there, in that, and I'm not trying to be an alarmist at all, but one of the differences is the coronavirus is more deadly than the flu we're facing now, right?
That is the question I've had on my mind, too. Doctor, answer that after this. Our guest is Dr. Paul Ravenna, Northwestern Medicine family physician. After the president spoke last night, we thought, well, let's get a doctor to talk a little bit, not only about what the president said, but about what those medical professionals said. We're asking him questions now about the coronavirus in general. Steve had a question you may have had, and that is, Doctor, isn't this virus, though, more deadly than the common flu that we're experiencing?
Numbers that we have, we think the fatality rate is somewhere around 2%. I think one study that I was reading earlier was about 2.3%, somewhere in that range. Now, that number, I would imagine, is going to go down as we test more and more people. We also know that 80% of people who have the virus experience minimal to no symptoms. The 2.3% is definitely a higher number than influenza. Absolutely, that's a higher fatality rate than we're seeing. But I think it's a little bit too early to judge it.
So what you're saying is we don't know how many people have the coronavirus altogether, and once we know that bigger number, the death rate would be diluted.
Exactly. Our denominator is going to go way, way, way up.
You know, so all of this is maybe comforting, but I'm thinking again about that number you're thinking about, the one patient in California. There was a typhoid Mary, and Mary spread typhus to a population. There was one AIDS patient once. We didn't know it at the time, and we had an AIDS epidemic. If this person's been moving about California or wherever else for 2 weeks without any symptoms, I could see how that could spread to people that don't know they have it, to people that don't know they have it. Is there any realism in what I just described, Doctor?
Yeah, so that person for sure was spreading it because that's how viruses work. And so this is why we're going to get more cases, but we do not need to panic. So I do not think that this is the beginning of some, you know, zombie apocalypse movie where you have a doctor on TV or on the radio who's saying, stay calm and go about your life as normal. We should be cautious. We should take precautions. I would argue these are the precautions that we should be taking no matter what. We are going to see more cases of this, but it is from what we know right now, potentially easier to spread, but overall less deadly than SARS and MERS were, a decade ago. And so we're not thinking about SARS and MERS. The world didn't end when that happened. People sort of are only thinking about them now that the next thing is coming out. We say, oh, remember when that happened? But I think it's a little bit early to panic.
We have hundreds of millions of dollars in the federal government coffers to fight Ebola. I mean, that, and again, that was terrifying. It was a different kind of animal, but I mean, it does remind me that we have, in a way, been through this before, but the market didn't fall 10% with SARS or Ebola.
Right.
It's kind of weird that we're getting this reaction now.
Precisely. Now, listen, I've never taken so much as an Econ 101 class. I spent way too much of my early 20s in a laboratory, so I'm not the person to ask about market trends here. But yeah, I think it's, we're, I'm I'm cautiously optimistic that we're overreacting a little bit, sort of as a community. And you know, there's a lot of misinformation about there. What we do know is about a 2% death rate worldwide. We haven't had any in the U.S. We've had 60 cases so far. That number is absolutely going to go up, but I do not believe that it is reason for panic. And the thing that I keep going back to is we're worried about the wrong bug so far.
Yeah, humor me, though, because the president at a press conference last night, not to talk about influenza, but to talk about coronavirus, are you satisfied with the administration's response? If a Democrat were in president right now, or a different Republican were president right now, do you think we would be in the very same place we're in right now?
I don't know that there's much we can do about this particular bug right now. I don't know what sort of response we need. The thing that we need is, at least at the most fundamental level, is better testing. So we need to be getting these testing kits more available to people, more available to primary care offices, to healthcare systems. Right now, they're really available through public health departments, which is fine. It's better than nothing. But
yeah.
We're in an information gathering stage. And the one frustration that I do have sort of on that level is it's difficult to gather that information if you can't test.
Well, is it possible that people in the United States or in the world have coronavirus and don't know it and are going to get over it and be better again and never have known they have coronavirus?
That's almost certain. I would say that's almost a guarantee. Yeah, 80% of people show minimal to no symptoms. So it is totally possible that your neighbor who had a cough and a fever for a couple of days and then fought it off and is going back to work and is still driving carpool and is still going about their business, that was coronavirus.
Listen to this. I don't know if there's any truth to this or not. Producer Elif got a text, and this is from somebody who said, here's some information you all should adhere to. Right, Elif? What is this?
Mm-hmm. It says, the new coronavirus may not show signs of infection for many days, so how can one know if he or she is infected? By the time they have fever and or cough and goes to the hospital, the lungs are usually 50% fibrosis and it's too late. Taiwan experts provide a simple self-check that we can do every morning. Take a deep breath and hold your breath for more than 10 seconds. If you complete it successfully without coughing, without discomfort, stuffiness, or tightness, there is no fibrosis in the lungs, basically indicating no infection. Advice from Japanese doctors treating COVID-19 coronavirus cases is everyone should ensure the mouth and throat are moist and never dry. Take a few sips of water every 15 minutes. The water, the liquids will wash down any virus that gets into your mouth through the esophagus and into the stomach. And once the fluid is there, the acid of the stomach will kill the virus.
Okay, hold on.
That's basically it.
Okay, so two things there, doctor. Do you buy that one self-check is hold your breath for 10 seconds and just swallowing more often, maybe wash it away?
I would say the simple answer to both of those questions is no.
It sounds pretty reasonable, but there's stuff like that out there right now, and now we're all becoming experts. So, but you're a physician. That all sounds new to you, huh?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not going to tell my people that they need to my patients that they need to be waking up every morning and holding their breath for 10 seconds. Nor would I say that is a reliable, sensitive, nor specific test for this virus or fibrosis in the lungs. I mean, that just sort of goes against how lungs work and how we can test for them. Listen, I understand that everyone is worried about this, and I get it. I totally understand it's a new thing. We hear death rates, we hear new cases all the time. I do understand why people are a little bit cautious about this, but you know, I always tell my patients the internet is for haters, and there's a lot of good information, but you really have to sift through a lot of bad to get there. And so I would not be advising them to swallow more or to hold their breath for 10 seconds.
Doctor, I read that if you can close your eyes and touch your nose with your finger, that will ward off the virus too. Is that...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And if you spin around three times when you enter the room, you know, it's all this lot of information out there. If you feel like you have symptoms, stay home, have a lower threshold to actually call into work and contact your family doctor.
Yeah. And that's good advice because you may have the flu, not coronavirus. That's just good advice. I think this is like a hurricane that's coming and we all get very wrapped up in the hurricane. You almost root for the hurricane and it turns out to be a hurricane, but survivable and maybe not as bad as the people standing on the shores were making it look. And I think we're kind of a victim of the information cycles that we're in these days. We have more ways to say the same thing over and over again, and it is maybe not as bad as it feels. Mike on line one had this question. Mike, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Yes, John, I have a question. What I wonder about on the statistics of this is what is the percentage of people 60 plus that have come down with the coronavirus? And then secondly, what is the death rate, the percentage of the group of that 60 plus group that have come down with it?
Do you have the demos on that, doctor?
I don't in front of me, unfortunately.
Okay, I'm sorry, but I think you alluded to that earlier, that it's killing people who are older or are somehow immunocompromised, right?
Exactly. So people who are older have more likelihood to have a worse disease course, so more severe symptoms, requiring hospitalization.
All right, but could you comment on this, if I may? The next two texts on the sheet in front of me are, the doctor that died in China was not old. He was a younger man. John, the Chinese doctor who warned us, who discovered this virus, died. He was 29. Mm-hmm. The guy that was in charge of the hospital in Wuhan has also died. These are doctors who have maybe opportunity to safeguard themselves more than anybody, and they didn't survive it. What's your comment on that, doctor?
Yeah, absolutely. So listen, none of this is 100%. We know it's more likely for you to have severe symptoms if you're older, if you have other medical conditions, but that is not 100%. Nothing that we do is 100%. So absolutely. And more likelihood to protect him, I would probably argue that the people who were sort of on the front lines of this in China had no idea until it was too late.
Yeah, right. By the way, is there a test kit I can get as a civilian, just if I'm curious, doctor?
Not to my knowledge. To be honest with you, it's hard enough for us to test in the medical community.
Yeah. You've been very helpful today, doctor. I hope you don't mind if we call you again. Dr. Paul Ravenna is a Northwestern Medicine family physician. Thanks for your time this morning, and we will reach out again, sir.
Absolutely. It'll be my pleasure.
Yeah, he's good at that, isn't he?